Hey, what the heck is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Kinda Funny X-Cast, your home for all things Xbox here at Kinda Funny. Of course, I'm one of your hosts, Snowbike Mike, and today I am joined by a dope panel, a panel full of gamers is what I'm going to call it, because we have a very special review of Woe Long Fallen Dynasty, so I had to call up the squad and say, yo, who is the best Soulsborne-like gamers in the office to come help me review this game? So, of course, rounding out this panel today, we have the Nitro Rifle, the Elden Lord, Mr. Andy Cortez. Andy, how are you?
What's going on? I beat Orange Seed and Smough in one try. What's going on, gamers?
Andy, you're a gamer, and I can't wait to hear what you think about Woe Long. Let's keep it going with, of course, the Perry Poppy, the Puzzle Poppy, the Young King. Hot off of a brand new episode of The Blessing Show, which we'll talk about in just a moment. Blessing Adeoye Jr. How are you, Bless?
Whoa, long time no see.
Bless. Don't you start that now with me. I love it, Bless. And you know what? Bless, you're looking real fly today with your X-Cast hoodie.
I had to rock it.
Man, I'll tell you what. You rock that in the office and it makes me smile. One of the few that still wears it alongside me and my gaming dads. But thank you. We're rocking the X-Cast gear.
I mean, thank you for getting this thing made because it's very comfortable. And also, it's one of my favorite, I told you this earlier, it's one of my favorite pieces of Kinda Funny merch. Yes. I think it looks fantastic, but then also, again, this is very comfortable and warm in this very cold office. And so,
there it is.
Gotta rep it.
All right. Well, best friends out there, of course, if you want to rep some dope Kinda Funny merch, you can always go check out all of our gear over at our store. But let's jump into it today because we got a great X-Cast coming your way. We have a full review of Woe Long Fallen Dynasty coming your way. And then I'll give you some fun news updates in the Xbox world because we missed you last week. And my two gaming dads have been very busy from the DICE Awards to just traveling the globe, talking about Gary Whitted on all the cool things he's doing, I'm sure, right? Or maybe he's just sitting at home. I don't know what he's doing. But we're going to catch up with everything. But before that, of course, I have to remind you that this is the Kinda Funny X-Cast. We post each and every Thursday at 6 a.m. West Coast, Best Coast time on YouTube.com/KindaFunnyGames, podcast services around the globe, and, of course, over on RoosterTeeth.com. Don't forget, we are now Epic Games partners, which means if you are buying games off the Epic Games store, if you're upgrading your look in Rocket League or buying the latest season pass in Fortnite and getting those sweet, sweet V-Bucks, please use our Epic creator code KindaFunny at checkout to help support the team in a brand new way. And talking about support, we always like to thank those who support us here at Kinda Funny via Patreon. Whether you're on patreon.com/kindafunny or patreon.com/kindafunnygames, thank you all so much for your support. You can watch the show live as we record it. You can get ad-free viewing and listen at your earliest pleasure. And of course, you can be a Patreon producer, just like our two Patreon producers for the month of March. Shout out to Tripod Plus Plus and Delaney Twining. Thank you all so much for supporting the team. And talking about support, of course, this week, the Kinda Funny X-Cast is brought to you by HelloFresh and The Blessing Show. And guess what? I got Blessing right here. So why not ask him, Blessing, what's dope in video games? What's up with the latest Blessing Show?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Everybody should go check out the latest Blessing Show. I talk about why we need to fix black hair in video games. I've gotten to say thank you on previous shows, but I'll say it on this show again. Thank you guys so much for checking out the video and showing it support. I've seen it make the rounds. I've seen people write about it over on Kotaku and on Polygon. But yeah, a lot of people are checking this one out and sharing it, so thank you so much. But if you haven't seen it, it's about a 17-minute long breakdown of me talking about black hair character options, right? About what's lacking there, what can be done better, how you can do better, and different anecdotal stories of why this is important and why this is something we need to do better. And so, yeah, me and Roger worked very hard on this one. Roger edited his ass off on this video, and it's one that we're very, very proud of. And so go check out this episode.
You should be blessed. I hope all of our watchers and listeners out there go check it out. I know the Kinda Funny extended family's really loving it. Of course, my two gaming dads gave you both props for your hard work. So congratulations, Bless. And we'll talk more about that during our ad break because, of course, it is brought to you by The Blessing Show. But let's jump into it. Let's have some fun. Of course, we're talking Woe Long, Fallen Dynasty. This is from Team Ninja and Koei Tecmo, releasing March 3rd, 2023 on Xbox One, Xbox Series X and S, PlayStation 4 and 5, and of course on PC. For all you Xbox gamers out there in the ecosystem, it is on Game Pass for console, PC, and cloud. So if you're trying to play a real difficult game on the cloud, Shout out to you. I've done that before, but you never know. Take advantage of your Game Pass subscription. Of course, previous titles from Team Ninja. Of course, you might know about Nioh 1 and Nioh 2. Both of those released in 2017 and 2020. So I wanted to make a note of that because it's 2023, early 2023 right now. So a nice little turnaround time for this one. And of course, if you've been living underneath a rock before we do our review, just to set the tone of like, what is Wolong Fallen Dynasty? The story rundown from the website is a dark fantasy action role-playing game set in the later Han Dynasty about a militia soldier fighting for survival in a chaotic Three Kingdoms. Snowbike Mike's Lalelule lore story about this. Yo, this is a tough, challenging Dark Souls-like game with a really cool setting, all about chaos. You're chasing a jabroni who's got some sort of elixir, and it's bad news, and you got to stop that. Mm. Pretty close.
But you don't have to kill chaos.
You don't got to kill chaos, thank you. Yeah, just there's a lot of chaos.
There's a lot of chaos going on.
It's the other Team Ninja game.
Let's jump into it right now, guys. Let's give, of course, if people are new here to the Kind of Funny review scale, we go through 1 through 5, 1 being terrible, 5 being... what blessing?
Amazing.
Amazing. And so we're going to give our review scale 1 through 5 right now. Let's go around the table. Guys, just give me your quick review number and your just quick thoughts before we super dive in. Blessing, I'll start with you.
Quick thoughts. You know, you referenced Nioh and Nioh 2 as the Team Ninja games, and there's one key one missing, and that's Stranger of Paradise.
Oh.
Of course, that was developed by them. That dropped last year, and that was actually my entry point into the modern era of Team Ninja games. And since then, right, I played that. I was like, oh, this is pretty fun. Obviously has a lot of flaws, you know, has a lot of things that it could do better, but I found myself pleasantly surprised by the combat in that game, and I had a lot of fun with it. Wolong Fallen Dynasty is one where the demo came out late last year, and you hit me up, and you're like, yo, Bless, I think this is one that you might like, and I was like, all right, cool. I downloaded it, played it on a stream, and I had so much fun with that demo because the deflect system, which is kind of their parry system in the game, reminded me a lot of Sekiro, just in terms of like you're building up stagger in your enemy, you're trying to get them staggered so they can get a critical hit and repeat, right? And it is a lot of timing based on the animation of the enemy's attacks that they're doing. And so as soon as I played that Wolong demo, I was like, oh, I gotta show up for this thing because this thing seems really awesome. And so far, my quick thoughts, I have beaten the full game. I had so much fun with the full game, but I think as a full package, it leaves a bit to be desired. Mm. The score I'm going to give this thing is a 3 out of 5. Okay. It is a 3 out of 5 that I'll say is for sure for fans of the genre. If you're somebody who really likes Team Ninja, if you really like Nioh 1 and 2, if you really like difficult combat games with Souls-like mechanics, I think you are going to enjoy Wolong Fallen Dynasty. I don't think you're going to be blown away by Wolong Fallen Dynasty. I think the best thing that has going for it is that the combat system is really fun. You know, I think the boss design is really fantastic. I really enjoyed fighting the bosses, especially some of the harder bosses in the game. Like, really getting in and being like, all right, what is their pattern? How do I figure this out? How do I, you know, deflect every single hit to build up their stagger? And, like, even just looking at some of the boss design, I think a lot of that there is awesome, as well as some of the setup in terms of progressing level to level. They have this interesting system that's called the morale system, where when you get to a checkpoint, you put down your battle flag, and that then raises your group morale, which then means that you're taking less damage from enemies. You have those battle flags, but then also spread out throughout the level are these marking flags that do the same thing, but they just don't work as checkpoints. And so the more of those that you find, the more power you have with you and your reinforcements, which are just enemy or which is co-op AI that hang out with you and help you fight. And that incentivizes exploration level to level in a way that I thought was pretty well done and pretty fresh. And like, you know, that would kind of reset progression level to level in a way that I thought was cool, right? I'll start off a level being like, all right, like, gotta be careful, gotta play smart. And then I'll get halfway through a level and I've hit enough of those flags and I've raised enough of my morale where I'm like, oh, let's freaking go. Like, this is awesome. Now I'm dominating these enemies. But then, you know, on some of the critique side, I think in terms of visuals, I think the game can be a bit busy in terms of some of its graphics and fidelity. The art style, I would say, it gets the job done, but isn't anything that, again, I'm blown away looking at. It strikes me as a little bit more on the uninspired side in terms of art style and art direction. Like, it doesn't look bad, But graphically, especially, it doesn't look great, is what I'd say, right? There are places, and we talked about this a little bit with Wild Hearts, which is also a Koei Tecmo product, where it's like, oh man, some of the textures strike me, like, look a little bit messy, especially when you get into like hair textures and the more getting into more of the detailed stuff, things like water. It's like, oh man, I wish this looked better. Again, it never looks terrible by any means, but it's not something that I was blown away looking at. There's that enemy variety left a lot to be desired. I was running in like second half of the game, especially. I'm like, I know all these guys. Like, I've met all these guys, all these guys before. Story, didn't care about, you know, like characters, didn't care about. English voice acting, not great. And I forgive so much of it because the gameplay is so fun a lot of the time. But even with the gameplay, I think the difficulty can be uneven. You know, you get to the first boss and it's like, wow, this is really difficult. And you get past it. And then the game ends up being a bit on the easier side. I'll say that this is a lot easier than Neo. You know, Neo 2 was so difficult that I had issues with it, right? Like, I couldn't get super far in Neo 2 as I wanted to. And like Stranger Paradise, I knocked that out. But this is harder than Stranger Paradise, easier than Neo 2, and I think it'll be a bit more approachable for a lot of people. But it is uneven, where you're going to hit difficulty spikes. There's one boss halfway through that is fucking ridiculous. And moments like that, I think, kind of kill the pacing, because with difficulty, you want more of a steady progression, right? You want to like get to the next boss and be like, all right, this is a bit harder than the previous one, but I'm persevering and do it. You get to that boss halfway, and it's like, wow, I was knocking bosses out in my first try. This boss is taking me 2 days. And now you beat that boss, and it's like, all right, now I'm back to cruising, until a few bosses later, you're like, all right, this guy's difficult. And then, like, you know, you get to the end of the game. And, I just wish the difficulty was better paced. But all in all, you know, I had a good time with it. But I don't know if I would say that my time spent with Wolong at the end of the day is going to be super memorable. But it's a game that I'm glad I played.
Blessing, very well said. I'm going to kick it over to the Elden Lord. Of course, I brought on both of the Soulsborne experts here, kind of funny, to talk about it. So, Andy, give me your review score. Give me your brief breakdown of it all.
Yeah, I heard you all kind of talking about, you know, deciding between a 3 or a 4. And I like that. That's the biggest question for me. And I think I would have to lean towards a 3 as well. I think it's still a lot of fun. I just don't think that the combat can really carry carry that load of all the other problems that this game has. I do enjoy the progression, like Blessing was talking about. I think it is really creative and kind of finding all of those little things to boost your morale that then raise your morale floor. So it can be kind of odd and confusing for somebody who plays RPG games, because you hop into levels that say, this level or this area requires like a recommended level of 30. Okay, that's cool. And you hop in, you're like, oh, I'm 32. It should be no problem. And you hop in, but then the morale level lowers it down for you anyway. So you're still kind of like at a base level that kind of resets in a way your progress, it feels. And you have to find these little things around the world that do encourage exploration. Which I think is kind of neat and creative, and it's a way to kind of encourage you to go looking around, because there's all sorts of shit you're going to find. I think the game is bugged right now. I'm talking with Mitchell Saltzman on DMs right now from IGN, and he can confirm to me that he thinks that the arrows are bugged, because I texted Blessing like an hour ago, Mike, and I was like, Blessing, how do you get more arrows? I've bought so many arrows in this game. Where do they go? Where are they? And he was like, you know, I didn't use a whole lot. And I only use arrows to pick off annoying dudes that are going to throw shit at you in battle, you know? And I don't know where these arrows are growing. I think the whole system is bugged. Surprisingly, not a whole lot of bugs in this game. I think the game is, like, kind of decently polished. I'm pretty surprised by it. I think the combat is a lot of fun. I think the game is kind of just staying there a bit too long. I think the game should have ended maybe a couple of hours ago. So for people who love long games, there's a lot to play here. So congratulations. I do think that it wore out its welcome a little bit. And I kind of lost the thrill of combat, because I feel like I've seen what the best this game has had to offer. And in terms of the excitement of combat, and nothing has really lived up to that lately in the last couple of boss fights. But yeah, very odd difficulty pacing. One-shotting everybody, and then you hit a boss. It's like, oh, this took me 2 hours to do. What the fuck happened here? You know, like, what was the oversight here? Did we like move a decibel number in the programming and forgot to put it back? You know, because something's wrong here. This dude is insanely difficult. I have a problem with the way fast travel works. When you're the way this game is sort of structured is you go to different areas of a map that have your overall objective, and you are finding these points of progress that are essentially your bonfires, and you can go back to your bonfire, and that's where you can level up or you can change whatever powers you need in battle. And I wish you could fast travel between those points. I don't like that you have to kind of run back to go to a prior area that you did find. So there are some little inconveniences and like quality of life type things I think that could be improved. I think load times are pretty shit.
Yep.
Like I can't believe how bad. Yeah, I'm playing on Xbox.
Xbox load times, tough. Load times tough.
Load times are really bad. I started the game on PC and the game is incredibly unoptimized. Like shocker, another PC game comes out that is badly unoptimized, which is such a bummer because that's where I'd prefer to play. So yeah, the game just hopefully when it launches it runs a little bit smoother, but yeah, like a game that looks like this, it kind of reminds me of Stranger of Paradise again, another Team Ninja sort of thing, where a game that looks like this should not be taking up this many resources and running this badly. I think the game is kind of ugly. It's a weird thing where the character art, much like Wild Hearts, much like Stranger of Paradise, when we get those nice zoomed in shots, you can tell these artists are incredible. They're doing great character work. The models look phenomenal. The eye rendering is great. Like you never get the uncanny valley stuff with this engine. They're really they have a really, really talented art team. It's just something with this engine that makes the game look a lot older than it should be. Luckily, it's not Stranger of Paradise bad, where the game looks like shit and also it's running like what seems to be 720p at times. Like this game surprisingly keeps a really good resolution on performance mode. It doesn't really look blurry or kind of low resolution at times where you kind of run into the variable resolution type stuff whenever the game's changes resolutions to make the game run smoother. What we're seeing right now in the gameplay looks awesome because we have direct lighting and anything can look good with direct lighting. You have shadows casting. The game looks awesome whenever that happens, but whenever you are in underground areas or in basement levels or anything where there's not like a sun, quote unquote, shining on you, casting shadows, it looks like ass in a lot of points. And I do think there are some weird decisions with art direction when you are underground and you have like these red crystals, the elixir mic that's kind of down there.
Yeah.
Do like, and it's sometimes like, man, you got to tone down the brightness on these lights. The saturation is like insane down here. We're going a little too hard right now. That's my concise thoughts on
that's
very
good.
Concise thoughts on Wolong.
We got a lot to say, so we're gonna keep going. We got a lot. It's right.
I'm like really, really close to beating it. I'm at a boss where I think I'm like two bosses away from beating it. I'm at one of those bosses where it's like, the developers go, how do we amp up the stakes? How do we make this shit super epic? Let's give them a boss that kind of takes away everything that the player has really enjoyed about the game so far.
Yeah.
You know, I think the game excels really well, much like a lot of Souls games excel really well whenever it is the 1v1 battle. Yeah. The Sekiro 1v1 battle where it's mano-a-mano. I am downloading all of your moves in my brain. I'm learning all the parries. All that shit feels so good to successfully do. And then when they throw you a curveball and suddenly you're fighting a skyscraper-sized monster and also the monster flies. So it's not like you can even run around to the back and hit it in its legs. You can't do that at all. Those are the things that are just like, what are we doing,
at that point,
man?
You're fighting against the lock-on.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and that's the problem. You know, usually when Souls games, or even any action adventure, or any, you know, character action game, I'd say, whenever they introduce larger-than-life enemies, monstrous, towering beasts, it's like, all right, well, I know I'm going to deal with camera issues. Maybe I don't lock on and just swing at its feet. That's what I do in Souls games a lot. In this case, you can't swing at its feet because it's flying. So that That sucks. So I'm like on attempt number 9 right now. I texted, I slacked everybody. I was like, I think I'm at the final boss. I'm going to try to take him out. I'm so close. But I was like, before I go do that, let me go find those little rest spots because I know I'm missing a couple.
The marking
like the
flags
mini ones.
And the battle flags.
Yeah, the marking flags. I mean, I know I'm missing two of them because what those do is they raise the floor that whenever you die, you get taken down to a certain floor level. And if you raise that floor super high to like a level 20 fortification, I believe. Mm-hmm. All this sounds like mumbo jumbo.
Yeah,
your morale rank.
I had to go into the glossary for this game. I was like, I got to learn what all this stuff is.
Once you have it at a certain level, it can't go any lower than that. And so I went to go waste time looking for those. I only found one of the two I was looking for. I'm in a bad spot with this game right now. we're kind of in a messy breakup right now.
This is a question I'll ask you because, like, when you, and this is one something you have to pay attention to because I'm not even sure the answer to this. But when you die at a final boss in an area, does your morale rank go down to that floor? It has to, right?
Because it goes down to that floor.
Yeah. Okay. Because I got lucky to where. There was a boss that I was talking to Mitchell Saltzman, who's reviewing the game for IGN, and he was like, dude, like, this boss is difficult, and then this other boss is difficult, and, like, I ran through, a lot, like, most of the game up until that boss he was talking about, and I got there, and, like, he got my health pretty low, but then, like, I was able to kill that boss on my first try, with my health, like, getting pretty low, and, like, I felt the pressure because I was like, if I don't beat him on this first try, I don't know if I'm going to beat this guy because my morale rank is as high as it's going to be. So it's high risk, high reward when you're going through your first time.
You'll notice that a lot of these bosses, and I swear we'll let Mike talk here in a second. you'll notice a lot of these bosses, their morale rank is a level 20. And if you find every one of those small marking flags or the larger kind of bonfire type things, that's just always what I'm going to call them, bonfires. If you find them all, your morale floor will be 20, but you can whoop a bunch of ass and get in there with like a 24 or a 23 level. Like you can max out a 25, I believe. But if you die, you go back down to 20. Now, if you miss a lot of those marking flags and you're riding high to level 28 and you're or 25 and you're just popping off, bam, 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 bam. But if you missed a couple and you get your ass whooped, it's like suddenly you're down to morale rank 16. It's like, oh, fuck.
And that's the thing. I like that a lot. Because it's like, again, high risk, high reward. Cool. Where I'm going through a level for the first time and I'm being pretty meticulous about taking out enemies. Yeah. I'm doing real good. And when you're doing, the better you do, the easier it is to take out enemies and not die. I got to like, there's some of the battle flags that are corrupted and you need to take out some of the stronger enemies. Yeah, the bigger baddies that are next to them. And I got to that one. And I'm like, all right, I got to fight this bigger baddie. My morale rank is real high. And so I'm doing a lot of damage. But then also, I'm out of my health replenish. And so, like, I really got to lock in. And I started fighting that guy. And I missed a couple of deflects. And I died. And my heart sank. Because that meant that I went from, like, morale rank 14 down to 3. And then that guy that just killed me got stronger. Kind of like Shadow of Mordor a little bit with the Nemesis
system.
Like, he got stronger. And I'm like, fuck. Like, what have I done? Like, ah, shit.
Yeah, there's a lot of cool systems in this game. And I think, obviously, we do the thing where we think a game, like, I recommend this game still. I really do. I think it's fun and difficult. And I don't want to shit on the game the whole time because it's close to a 4 for me.
I think we're all very similar.
Yeah.
I still enjoy a lot of the combat. I enjoy, don't ask me anything about the story of the characters. I just couldn't give a lesser shit. That's where I'm at with the story. But the story kind of reminds me of like, you know, Cobra Kai, but not good, where it's like everybody gets just fucked up. Everybody gets backstabbed and backstabbed and backstabbed and characters are constantly switching sides. That's all I got to say story-wise. I don't really recommend a whole lot of what's going on there dialogue-wise either.
Yeah.
Not a huge fan of the voice acting. But the...
It's like it's on par with Wild Hearts.
Cutscene looks good. Yeah, you're here for the great gameplay. Yeah. Gameplay is fun.
It's
right.
Great. It's really, really fun gameplay. Mike, what do you think about it?
Yeah, guys, I'm there right there with you. I actually wrote in my notes, I'm giving it a 3 out of 5 good. And I wrote, it's not great, but it's good, all capitals here, right? If we had 0.5s, it would be a 3.5, right? Like, I'm looking at great, but there's a lot of things, like you guys brought up, that just kind of hold it back for me. And as the newbie Soulsborne player, and I'm really happy I have both of you, our experts here, to kind of talk about that, right? It's like, I love this fast-paced combat, right? Like, blending that Dark Souls challenge, but with Sekiro and the parrying and how fast that was, like, I really dug this gameplay. And it was right up my alley of, man, we're moving so fast. Parrying is key, and I'm going to talk about that in just a little bit. But when you're playing moment to moment, you don't have to worry about the parry all the time. You can kind of brute force past enemies. You can dip, dodge, and duck on them and still kill them. When it comes to bosses, parrying is going to be front and center for you to defeat them, especially with those big killer spots like you talked about the will come to me in a second. But those big we'll get to it. But
like the bonfires or
no the extra stabs. I had them written down, but I forgot what the stab was. The critical hits, right? Like, you won't be able to kill a boss in like Dark Souls where you can just dodge the whole time and kind of just slowly beat him down. In this game, you have to parry. You will have to get the critical hits.
You got to get up the stagger meter, right? It's way more Sekiro.
Exactly, right? It's way more Sekiro on these bosses. But then the other 90% of the gameplay, you can just bust through bad guys, right? Because, like, they're smaller. You don't have to play the parry game. You can just beat them down. You'll stagger them eventually and then hit them with the critical blow, right? So really dug the gameplay. I was impressed with the weapon variety. There's a ton of weapons in this game, and each weapon is unique. They all have their own martial arts, is what they call it, which I'll just call like mini special moves, which I really appreciated, right? Like, the dual blades feel different than the staff, and there's a giant hammer, and there's two axes. Like, the variety is there, and it's really cool to choose different ones, find the ones that you like throughout the gameplay, try new ones, and I love that each one has their own variety of skills as well, right? Like, being able to take the tool blades and spin in a crazy whirlwind at people or disengage with the back jump, like, was really, really cool stuff. And then on top of that, I called it the combo breaker, aka the ultimate move, which is your divine beast, right? I like having this tool set of you're beating up the hero, and then on your side, you can call in your divine beast, which is your big ultimate move. And there's different divine beasts that you'll earn by killing each boss that will allow you different types of gameplay, right? There's a dragon that will heal you. There's a deer that will stun people and injure them. And there's so much more in that. And also, there's even magic, right? There's spells as well that you can get into and use. I never used the spell the whole time. Like, just wasn't my kind of build, nor did I want to get into that. And I was really appreciative of the combat, the weapon variety. I liked what you had when it came to an arsenal that you could go take down these opponents with. Also, big shout out, reinforcements. You touched on it before, but you're able to play with up to two AIs as your kind of Patriots homeboys running around. And as someone who's beaten all my Dark Souls experiences co-op, this was awesome, right? Because we're in the review period. We really don't get to play co-op. It does have online co-op for all of you gamers out there, up to three people in a party. So if you want to play with your friends, you can. But to be able to play with the AI and just either have them as a meat shield or actually have them help you, like killing some of the side enemies, was a ton of fun. Like, I really thought that was a brilliant move, as opposed to, hey, it's all you, all by yourself. You got someone to run with. And I think that takes a lot of pressure off of someone who's not the best kind of Soulsborne player. So those are some big shout outs to me, as well as the challenge rooms. Andy brought up, like, you get dropped into these like mini map worlds, right? It's not an open world. It's not a semi-open world. It is very point A to point B, but there's fun little areas to go explore and get lost in.
Good level design.
I'm
not going to give it a good level design. I'm going to give it an okay level design. We're going to talk about that in a moment, Andy, because you taught me good level design. But what I liked is after you complete that kind of stage slash section, you can go back and they make mini challenge rooms where, hey, do you feel underleveled? Do you want some more souls to spend and level up? Go back. We've made these mini challenge rooms where drops you at one point. You literally go 20 steps, fight a little mini section of a couple of baddies. You earn some more points. I thought that was really well thought out and
fun.
They're
good for leveling up. Yeah. If you're looking for certain materials, when you highlight, they're called submissions, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to those missions, they're just like the travel menu.
Yeah.
It'll say, hey, if you beat this mission, you'll get 3 rank 4 steel or 3 rank 4 leather. And that's what you use to then upgrade your equipment and upgrade your weapons. And so, like, that was actually very helpful for me.
They're very helpful. Yeah. They're cool. They're really fun and they're easy. They're short. They're brief. They're fun to do. I think it's also adding to your experience, like you talked about. This is a pretty meaty game. I think it did overstay its welcome just
a little bit.
How long
did it take you guys to play through?
I'm currently probably at 15 hours, and I would say I'm at 65% through right now. So I'm sure you guys are a little bit more than me.
I'm like 30-something. Probably like 33, 34 hours.
But I think
I think I'm right around the 30 mark.
Okay, yeah, I think you're going to get a pretty sizable game out of this, that's for sure. I think it probably should be about 20 hours here. Like, there's a lot of bloat here in some of these sections, but I think it's really fun either way. I do want to switch to some of my critiques. You talked about level design, Andy, right? This isn't Dark Souls level From Software level design, where you and I are exploring a hallway. Hey, Mike, take a slash at that wall. All of a sudden, it vanishes. Yo, did you know we're back at point one, right? Like, they don't really have much of that. I think they have some cool side corridors that you go down, you plant a flag, and maybe it will reconnect to the main path. But I didn't really find wowing level design out of this. I think they were cool little pieces. I think they were overused environments. I don't think you see much variety after a certain point when it comes to world variety.
My couple of beefs with it is I think the environment art, just in terms of art direction of the environments, never blew me away.
Yeah.
They felt fairly basic. And then also the discoverability, like finding the cool shit around, wasn't as fun either. Because like you're either, if you're exploring levels, going down different corridors, you're either finding random loot, right? Like items for your inventory or like, you know, gear that you're picking up, which this game has too much loot. It has an overabundance of loot. It's actually pretty ridiculous.
A lot of loot. Game.
And if you played Neo or you played Stranger Paradise, you're already used to that. But yeah, look, there's a lot of loot in this game. And then also you're finding that, or you're finding the marking flags, which then, you know, help raise the floor of your morale rank. But you're not finding anything interesting. And so at points it did feel like, all right, turn my brain off and now I'm just going to run through, right? It's not like you're playing, when you're playing like a From game and you like take a different route and it's like, oh shit, who's this guy? Oh, let me talk to him. Oh, this guy has a quest for me. Like, you're not finding anything that feels worthwhile. It's more so, let me get the numbers up. Like, you're just finding, you know, ways to up your stats.
Yeah, it's interesting. You brought up like an abundance of loot. Like at first it's very like, oh, here's a cookie. And it's fun to go down that path. By about 50% of the game, you're like, okay, I don't need all that.
Yeah. Right?
That's just a lot of just junk all the time. And after a certain part, you've seen all the enemies that they have to dish out at you. So there's that couple of wowing moments when you take an alternate path and you're like, oh man, look at this crazy enemy. By about halfway through that, you're like, I've seen all these guys. Nothing's really wowing me after that. So the level design for me, I put in okay. I didn't think it was good to great where there were some wowing moments. Difficulty spike, as you guys brought up, there's some very interesting choices, difficulty spike, right? Like, either we do the gradual climb or you just keep me at a plateau, but there is like a hard spike, then we just crash the plane where it's like super easy, hard spike, crash it again, and then back and forth. They probably did that about 4 or 5 times where I was like, man, that's an interesting choice. I thought we would have kept that a little more level on the challenge.
There's one boss in particular that is going to go down as one of the most difficult bosses of the year, if not probably the most difficult boss of the year. And it was so funny, like, seeing people one at a time possibly encounter that boss, where, like, I was waiting for Mike to hit it, because, like, Mike hit that boss, and he was like, dude, this boss is tough. And I was like, yeah, dude. Like,
come grab this controller for me, Blast.
Yeah, like, Mitchell was the one that warned me about it. Yeah, I was like, oh, we'll see. I've been cruising through this. And I got there, and I was like, what is... Why? And
if Mitchell Saltzman warns you about a boss, that's when you know you're not going to have a fun time.
Exactly, because Mitchell Saltzman is probably like one of the best gamers I know. And like, he warned me, and I was like, all right, we'll see. And I got there, and I was like, fuck, dude. Like, how in the world did you get past this? And it took me days, but I got there, right? And I was able to, like, you know, try it out Mike hit me up, and I was like, let me try it out on yours, right? And like, now, and here's the thing. I like the design of that boss.
Yes.
The thing. That boss is so fun to fight, but it's just the difficulty that is so weird, and it feels caught between them wanting to shift into making something that is taking a lot of influence from Sekiro's parry design, where when you for a lot of the Sekiro bosses, it is you need to get the stagger meter up so you can stagger these bosses. Yep. That is how you beat these bosses. Like, you can get their health down, but you know that's a fool's errand.
It's gonna be a long time.
It's gonna be a long time. Just stagger them. There are a couple of bosses that are inspired by that methodology of design, and I think they learned the wrong lessons. Like this game is meant for more of the, you know, take down the health, stagger if you need to, like, do that what you want. But there's a boss that legitimately you need to stagger them up to get them down, and it is not a fun. Well, it's a fun time, but it's also just super different from the rest of the game in a way that's jarring and in a way that's just overly difficult when you get there.
My final two critiques, I know you guys touched on story and voice acting. Load times on the Xbox are very long, right? Like, for me, it's like, that when you get the one more try moment, all of a sudden you get hit with a brick and you are just slowed down by the load times. Yeah. But stealth isn't perfect.
When I tried out the game on your Xbox, yeah. I was surprised. Yeah, because you mentioned the load times and I was like, oh yeah, like I guess they're there, mm-hmm. but I didn't, and it never stood out to me. And then I played on your Xbox and I was like, oh no, these are long on Xbox. I don't know what's going on here.
Stealth is a big facet of the game. It is a choice that you can make, just like shooting arrows or using magic, right? Like they want you to use stealth to get these fatal blows. But the issue with the stealth is it's not the perfect stealth that I want, right? I think in a game with this, you should have a dedicated crouch button so the player knows that they're in the stealth. Unfortunately, it's like the half push up the joystick to subtly walk towards them, but you can't tell how far away you can run and then walk up to an enemy. Sometimes you're right up behind them and the fatal blow animation doesn't pop up and then it freaks out and the character is on top of you fighting you.
It's like, always the tigers.
Yeah, I think the stealth was really blown in this one where, hey, if we're going to do this and you want to do it right, just make the crouch button, right? Like me as the player, I should know I'm in stealth because too many times did I walk up and waste an opportunity because either all of a sudden his meter went full, like he saw me out of nowhere, or I'm like half running, half walking and can't find the perfect joystick combination, which I didn't like.
There were times where I would like fuck up the stealth and immediately run back to the flag.
Yes.
And then try again because I'm like, no, I'm not fighting this guy when he has full health. He's too strong.
And finally, for Xbox game players, I didn't encounter some light bugs, right? I think 95% of my gameplay, the game ran very, very well. But there was some frame drops during certain boss fights. I did have some cutscene issues where the cutscene cut out completely. All of a sudden, it staggered and freaked out and then caught itself back up to it. I also had one, like, just massive world pop in. But I think these are all very small bug critiques that will probably be fixed with a day one patch. But, like, the game ran very well.
A couple of things on that. I did find when I did that boss fight on yours, there were a couple moments of stuttering where I was like, I've never seen this. Because I'm playing on PlayStation 5, so maybe that's an optimization thing on Xbox specifically, which maybe they'll get an update. Hopefully that gets an update. But then, on mine, there was one moment where I saw the world populating in, and it's because I backtracked. And it was in a section where I would have no reason to backtrack, so they probably were just like, oh, don't worry about this. Nobody's going to experience this. I turn around to go back and get a flag, and I was like, what in the world is going on here? But yeah, that was only one moment during my playthrough.
All right, well, there's your consensus. Go, Andy.
I was going to say, I guess that, you know, when I say that I had a fairly bug-free experience, I guess I always think more of like the cataclysmic crashes.
Yes,
you know,
the
ones where you're maybe hard stuck or you have to like reload a save. I never had issues like that, but sure, I had, you know, several moments of frame drops, world pop in, just pop in from assets and textures are, you know, could be optimized a little bit better just to kind of, you know, give you an overall better presentation. But in, it just so happens that in that toughest boss fight in the middle of the game, maybe once every three fights, when that enemy leaps up into the air to come down and you're supposed to parry at the right moment, massive frame stutter.
Yes. That was me.
And when when the fight is hard enough already and you are missing a parry that you normally nail when there isn't a massive stutter, it is such a bummer to like see that dude jump up and then suddenly he's down on you and your health is all and you're like, fuck, man, I needed this health vial. And like that's where a lot of the frustrations come from. But yeah, when Blessing was talking about sort of the Sekiro nature of it all, because there are several enemies in Sekiro that you can hack and slash away and you can definitely see their health coming down. That one sort of massive wall of a boss fight was hilarious because you feel like you're parrying for an hour straight and you look up and you have a fourth of the bar down.
At some point, you just stop looking at the health bar because
The enemy is still so healthy after you feel like you've been parrying for your fucking life for a goddamn hour.
It's like that one video is like, I'm fighting for my life out here.
I'm fighting for my life here.
I'm fighting for my fucking life.
That's how it felt a lot in that boss fight. And it also is worth noting that, make sure I get the name right, Masaki Yamagiwa used to work at FromSoft and worked on Bloodborne, was a producer, and now works at Team Ninja. And I know it's definitely not a direct correlation whatsoever, but I just like to think that like the rest of the game was super easy, and then Yamagiwa got there, and that's when that boss fight came in.
Crank that.
And suddenly the difficulty ramp just like shot up through the roof. Yeah, the stealth is like, When I say that I enjoyed the level design, I'm not saying that this game is anywhere near FromSoft or Breath of the Wild or anything like that, where you're like really intrigued by exploration for your own interests. Like you're exploring to find shit, right? I like going down the random corridors because I might find that rank 7 steel that I need for this next upgrade, and I enjoy that sort of stuff. This is like such a video game with its level design that yeah. I enjoy the moments of getting creating a new shortcut to then help that run back that might be a little bit easier to backtrack. There's always like the looping around rooms, and suddenly it's like, oh, I'm back here. That's kind of neat. Never near the mind-blowing moments that I have in Souls games, but still like done well enough, I think. Still like more than serviceable, I'd say. But the stealth is like so laughably video game that like, but for the audience, this is the type of stealth that you could be standing 10 feet in front of somebody and they won't see you.
Yep, 100%.
But like this isn't one of those where like if you're in their eyesight, unless it's a ranged enemy who shoots bow and arrows, they notice
shoot you
from far away.
They'll see you from a mile away for some reason.
But like if Snowbike Mike on the set right now is trying to stealth kill Blessing, he's just got to like kind of skirt the side of
no,
him.
No, I can like if like, you're a video watcher, right? Like
you just got to shuffle near the side.
This,
you cannot
this is,
be
this is
directly
me trying to
in
take
front
out Snowback Mike.
But like, no, you can get way closer than that. It's like, what's so shocking about it? Careful, Mike. Careful,
wild.
We got you.
Wild.
Yeah.
Game.
So like, so it is so video gamified in that way that the stealth is just so it's so silly in that way that like. You could just be side to side of the dude and they will not see you whatsoever. And I think that that's kind of. I think it's kind of it's enjoyable in some moments, but also it's like it kind of just takes me out of the whole experience quite a bit that like you see the game as being a video game as opposed to like I am a character in this world trying to progress this story and blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, at a certain point, it kind of just becomes numbers to me.
Yeah, almost wears some of his game design on his sleeve in both like good and bad ways, because you kind of get what you know where they're going with it, right? Like where I'm standing 5 feet in front of an enemy and they don't see me, and I'm like, I get it. Like if I stand one more step closer, he'll see me and he'll activate, right? And that kind of takes you out of the immersion, but also makes it more of a video game where you kind of understand the rules and you understand, okay, well, this is what I'm leveled up in stealth. And so I guess my stealth stats are working. Yeah. But then in other ways, you know, I think this game, to continue on with the FromSoft comparison, I think it's more accessible in quite a few ways. Co-op, super easy in this game. I played with Mitchell Saltzman yesterday, and it was as easy as going to one of the quote-unquote bonfire locations, right, the battle flag, and opening up the menu to do online co-op, and then setting him to join my game, and then it was super easy to do, and I'm usually not someone
like
who
a real video game should
a video game should, right? Like it's not in there's a glossary, you know, like the battle flag system, the morale rank system, all that is it's not easily apparent what's going on there, but like going through and reading all that shit, they make it very straightforward of like, hey, this is what this is how this works. Like, we're not trying to keep this information from you. Like, all those explanations are available. Item descriptions are very straightforward. There are menus where you can see all your stats pretty laid out. If you go over to the stats screen, like they'll tell you all the numbers that are associated with your character. You can there's an option to remove your headgear, so you can see your character's face and hair and stuff. And I did that immediately because I think the character creation system in this game is pretty good.
Yeah.
It's the same exact character creation system from every Koei Tecmo game. Like, it's funny. Like Nioh 2 has the exact same character creation creator, I'm pretty sure, and like it's even similar to Wild Hearts a bit, but it's a good character creator.
Yeah.
So,
it's great.
Yeah.
It's cool. If you can even put like a weird piece of paper in front of your face. Did you see that one? Real freaky looking. It was dope.
Yeah. If you heard me on the Wild Hearts review and Blessing was there as well, and we were just glowing about the character creation, it's pretty much the exact same thing here, where you have a lot of different hairstyles with different multiple hair color options. If you certain hairstyles have different add-ons that you can have, where you change, like if I have a ponytail, a bun that's up, I can add bangs to the side or bangs in the middle or just a couple of little strands, and I can make those strands longer if I want. Or I could add like the little side pieces of that. Like, there's so many different options there that I think just makes it really, really fucking awesome.
Yeah. There's also a photo mode in this game.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
The
photo mode is pretty good.
Oh, gotta have a photo mode in these games.
Yeah. And like, it works whether you're like offline or if you have like somebody invading or whatever, so you can't pause. Like, you'll still see your character in motion, but you can still tweak the different photo mode stuff. And like, you know, I took a couple of photos. Again, the game. It's unfortunate because the game isn't pretty enough for me to like really care that deeply about the photo mode, but it is fair. Like, it's very functional, and I took a couple of photos of like profile shots of my character, and I was like, oh yeah, this is pretty okay. Cool. I love that they're putting an effort into like giving you the little quality of life things to allow you to enjoy this game a bit easier.
Did you? Go, Andy.
I'll tell you what the visuals remind me of, like, just really, really good models and textures inside of an engine that can't quite show them off. When it comes to the lighting model that they're using, they're like, everything always just kind of looks flat. Like, everything looks like it's missing a pass of something. Like, oh, we haven't added the fog layer yet, or we haven't added this sort of like environmental lighting. Like, it always looks like there's something missing from a lot of these sequences. It just kind of bums me out because, again, when we get these close-up shots of these characters, they look fucking awesome, and I just wish the rest of the game could sort of match that visual aesthetic.
Yeah, since we're talking about things that we really like, you know, it's interesting, you open up this hub world, right? And I want to give a shout out to the pandas. Of course, you're going to run into these cute little pandas that you'll find around the world, and it's funny, it's interesting, you meet them and you drop an item in front of them, it will eat it, and then it will throw you out a new item, then fall asleep, and then you go back to the hub world and you have a character who is, you know, collecting the pandas, protecting the pandas in your little world, and they start to drop one by one every time you collect them. Thought that was fun,
where is this character?
He is on, so the hub world is very interesting designed. I want to call it, like, we'll call it a city of clouds, right? But you're up on the mountains, but you have like different paths to go to different levels of this, and he's going to be off into the right kind of main level height on that one. And so I really liked that one, and he kind of tells you, hey, these pandas, like, they're technically demons, but like, they're not really demons, so we should protect them. And like, if you feed them weapons and or armor, they're going to spit you out something back, and then they're going to come here. And so you got a little collectible. It reminded me of Sonic Adventures with those little
the chow garden.
With the chows.
Yeah. I have a little panda garden going on.
Wait,
now.
So you have a panda? Where the fuck is this? I need to find this.
Yeah, I like the panda garden.
Yeah, you'll find that panda garden. It's
you have to, like,
there.
Turn around. It's like behind you.
Yeah, that's the unfortunate part about that hub world, is it's just not... That one's not pretty, not well designed in my personal opinion. Like, I do not like how I'm moving all around in these weird platforms.
It's like, basically a maze. It's a hub world that's a maze, and it's rough. Because I like the idea. I like that they have a hub world, because I don't believe they didn't have one that's like this in Neo 2 when I played Neo 2. Like, Neo 2, you would come back out to a map and you would have a mission select. And then I think there were like, there's like a practice area you can go to, and I think you can upgrade stuff there. But this is an actual hub level where you're going between these different segments of the level to then talk to the person that's going to upgrade your gear. And so I'm back there a lot. But to get to each of the levels of the hub world, you have to walk on these branches that I felt like I was having a tiptoe through, because I was like, I don't want to fall off these things. Yes. There was one time I did fall off and I was like, dang it. It wasn't a big deal, but I think that was weird. And then, it's very mazy. And so there was one character who they were like, hey, this character is here. Like, go talk to them to upgrade XYZ thing. And I was looking for that. I was like, I could not find that person for a good, like, 4 minutes.
I think you're going to have fun running around the hub world, because someone's like, I've lost my house keys in the hub world. Go figure it out. Then someone's like, give me jerky. I thought that was funny. One guy's giving me some golden lotus shells.
Oh, so you were really hanging out there.
Oh, yeah, dude.
How do you give the jerky to homegirl who's like, hey, I'm looking for a recipe. And it's like, great, I have the jerky you're talking about. How do I give it to you?
That's like, a great question.
You just drop it on the floor like
a
panda?
Maybe drop it on the floor.
I tried dropping it on the floor, and then I also dropped it on her table where the rest of the food that she's serving it is at.
Yeah.
And I had no luck. Nothing popped up or no... Could be bugged. I don't know. Yeah.
I mean, just shout out to the combat. It feels so good and it is so much fun. And I'm so pleased that when I turned it on, I was like, man, I'm digging this. And I really had a good time. there's just some mean difficulty spikes, and that's something I want to talk with you guys about. I really want to, when we talk with this show, I want to know, where does this rank in your Soulsborne catalog, right? When we look at all this, because for me, this is more on the upper echelon. It's not the greatest, but it's in that upper mid where I would recommend this and have people go play it, you know what I mean? But man, oh man, the combat felt right to me, right? I really liked that Sekiro fast combat, but also, like I said, 80% of the time, unless it's a boss fight, you don't have to parry, which was nice for me, who was really just bad at parrying the whole time. So I think they did a great job on the moment-to-moment gameplay for me.
I texted Bless at the beginning, and I was like, why would they put this boss fight at the beginning of the game? This is the hardest fucking boss I ever fought in my life. And I wasn't noticing the critical prompt.
Yes. Yeah.
I was wondering. I was like, I didn't find it that hard. Like, I fought it, but...
And then I was like, oh, I didn't know to right trigger when you see the red. And I was like, okay, never mind. Good job. Good job, Team Ninja.
What did you guys think of...
That's on me.
What weapons did you guys use, and what were your divine spirits that you guys were running around with?
So I used the dual swords. I used that pretty much throughout my whole gameplay experience. And that's mainly because they're very swift and fast. And yes. So for enemies that... You know, when you hit them, they kind of stagger a little bit. I could keep them in that state, and hopefully they don't fight back as quick. You know, I'm not big on heavy weapons when it comes to these kind of games. I like being more swift, so I use those. And I tried out like some of the spears because those aligned with how specking my character. But the spears can be a bit dancey, which is cool because I think the choreography a lot of the time is cool. But
yeah,
it's tough.
Are awesome.
The animations are fantastic. Oh, but man, also,
the fatal blow animations too. So cool.
You got to get used to them, though, is the thing. Where if you don't use a spear and then you switch to a spear, the way like your character will dance around with that spear, I'm like, oh, dude, this is a lot. Like I kind of got to learn how to use this. And so I just stuck with the dual swords. And then for the divine beast, I started off with, there's one, it might have been the deer that like, stomps down, and then it has the spikes that, that come up, and those will stagger enemies as well. Halfway through, I switched to kind of a firebird that'll like arise and like, you know, will throw fire spikes everywhere. And I think I prefer the deer, but I was just too lazy to change back. But yeah, I enjoyed that. And then, you know, you talked about the tool set in the game, and I think the tool set is one of the better aspects, because yeah, you have your combat art type abilities where you hold R1 if you're using the default control, or this is an Xbox show, RB.
There you go.
And then you press X on the Xbox controller, or Y. Xbox controller.
He's learning, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay, so yeah, you're X and Y to like do the different like combat art abilities. And yeah, those are basically more melee type maneuvers, and they're very varied in terms of like the kinds of things. Like, they might do like a cool twirling your sword kind of combo, or maybe you'll do one that's a hit that'll make you jump away. And I really enjoyed those. I'm with you that I didn't use the magic abilities as much, but I had one magic ability that made it so that when I activated it, and all this is using your we didn't talk about like the gauge that you have on the bottom of your screen that I couldn't even tell you what the name of it is right now. The spirit gauge. We didn't talk about the spirit gauge, right? Like, that's kind of your own measure of how much you're about to get staggered, because you've been like your stance, quote unquote, has been broken down so much, versus like how much spirit you gain, because you're getting attacks, and then like you can spend that spirit that you gain on magic or on combat arts. So, like, that's the thing that you're spending on everything. But yeah, like, I would use the one that is it's a health ability that makes it so that whenever you or your allies attack, when they land an attack, you then get health back. That actually saved my ass quite a few times while fighting, where I don't want to spend too much on my my health replenish. And so, you know, I'm like a fourth of the way down on health. Let me just use that ability and try and be aggressive.
That's how I beat the hard boss.
Yeah. 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 And that's really the only magic that I used consistently.
I mean, I do want to give a shout out. I know, Andy, I don't know if you used a lot of magic, but there's a large magic tree here, right? Like, along with, of course, your level ups and your attribute points that you're putting in there, the magic tree is massive. There's different branches of magic that you can use. Each one has a large level up tree that looks like Borderlands and or Diablo inspired. Like, there's a lot going on the magic side. Andy, did you use any magic during yours?
Yeah, so there's five different areas to level up. The green is kind of like wood. They're all sort of tied to elements, right? And this game is very, very largely just tied to all sort of elements. That's kind of what all these bosses and what a lot of the enemies sort of are obsessed with. the green is kind of, if you level that up, it's kind of like extra wood and earth power or whatever, but it also gives you a higher level up on your HP. The red is fire damage and stuff like that. It also helps out and boosts your attacks, and it'll also raise your HP a tiny bit. Not as much as the green one, but you'll get a tiny bit of an HP raise. The blue is like water damage and ice damage and stuff like that, and it also boosts your stealth abilities. And then the yellow is electricity, and it boosts your magic abilities. And then the ground one is sort of like that bronze, brass-looking one. And that one boosts your
like equipment weight,
your
right?
deflect. Your equipment weight and also your deflect. So the middle one that we're seeing right here on the video, anytime you deflect, you get more spirit sort of for every time you deflect. And all of these do raise your health a little bit, but the green one raises your health the most. So the powers that I use quite often, and near the end of it, I would, depending on the enemies, because it is very rock, paper, scissors, whatever you're fighting, the elements, the Pokemon stuff that we're all used to by this time. If you're fighting a fire enemy, you might want a water buff or whatever. And so there are different buffs and different abilities where you can put down like an AoE sort of thing around you that the enemies will get poisoned by. Or you can cast your magic. You can cast your sword in like elemental damage. So like you can give it like a lightning buff or a fire buff or whatever. And it's like covered in fire now or covered in electricity. And I found it to be really cool when I'm fighting like stone enemies that are taking a while to kind of like chip down their health. And then I start my lightning buff on my weapon. And it's suddenly that, you know, you see that health bar just dropped drastically. So all that stuff is pretty neat. The spells that I use the most was the one that Blessie was talking about, where you cast it and any hit that you land, you get a tiny bit of HP back. And for those, I would always like using I use dual halberds for my weapon number one, and my second weapon is like a gigantic like halberd, like more of a long range one. And that one's really dope because that one has all the, it's a 4-star weapon, meaning you have like 4 different little perks you could put onto it, and you can interchange those perks and customize it however you want using sort of in-game currency, not like you buy this stuff or whatever with money, it's just stuff in the game. And with that large weapon, it was a lot of fire buffs and fire damage, which I loved using and seeing the enemies catch on fire. And then my other weapon had deals more damage to enemies that are burning. So then I would switch over to that when the enemy was on fire. So there's a lot of cool, fun ways to kind of mess around and find your own fun with the game. But yeah, the animations are fantastic. All the martial arts look great. When you start chaining all of them together, there are a couple enemies that like, I wasn't too sad when my teammates would die, because sometimes they pull, you know, the enemy attack patterns. I don't want you to like pull the aggro and then suddenly it gets aggroed back onto me and I'm not getting used to it, you know? But yeah, that I used that health spell, and then I used the poison ground one, and then the monster that I used, or the helping beast, the elemental beast that I used, was the ground one, where these ground spikes would pop up. I found that one to be awesome. And then I used the water sort of ice one whenever I would fight fire enemies.
Yeah.
What about you, Mike?
I was using the dual blades like Blessing. I had the 2 swords, and I used the deer as well. I really liked the deer because it staggered enemies and helped fill up that parry bar that we were trying to break them down with, right? So I found that to be super helpful. And yeah, I had a blast with it. I loved all of the weapons. I enjoyed the big hammer as well, Andy, like you brought up. I thought it was so cool to like grab a different unique weapon. Like you said, Bless, like new animations, there's new techniques to be found and had in that. And then, yeah, Andy, you talked about it, like changing up the weapon attributes and like adding new passives onto that. There's a lot that goes into this game. That's just like, man, you can get lost in the systems and have some fun.
A lot of it is so good. And I think all it needs is maybe a bit more refinement, because I really like the embedding system. I really like being able to go into the passives and be like, oh, no, remove this one. Let's add this different one. I just think for me, it didn't a lot of those didn't feel as like impactful, right? Like, well, I would do that and then immediately forget that I did it because you have so many stats across all your gear and weapons and like other wearable things. There's so much going on, and I think if they honed it in a little bit and maybe made some of those stats a bit more meaningful and stand out, and you know, made it so that you can actually really consider your playstyle based on some of these stats, because that's what they're going for. I think that's what they want you to do, but I don't know if the end result actually ended up with that. I think that's my thing that brings it back a little bit.
Okay.
Make sure you're also salvaging weapons instead of just selling weapons.
Salvage, yeah.
For anybody who's going to play this, because for the longest time I was only selling shit, and then I went to go try to change one of those perks in that higher upgraded weapon. I was like, God damn it, you're charging me 30 of these things, whatever this little fucking thing is, and I only have two? Like, how are you going to charge me 30? And then I realized, oh, when you each time you salvage a weapon, you get like 10 of those things, and you're salvaging fucking 30 tons every level, because you find so much shit in this game. It's like, but one also thing to keep in mind is that you can multiple select and multiple salvage and then multiple sell. So you're not just, you don't have to go one by one. You can like select the whole fucking thing and then just bam, sell them all, and they're all gone.
I will also say you find a lot of copper just as you're playing, and copper is the currency that you collect when you sell stuff as well. I would say, yeah, salvage over sell until you need to sell, and then like sell shit then, because that helped for me with upgrading too, where, hey, oh, I have this +4 level sword that I want to level up to level 5. Oh, I can salvage another +4 thing to then get the steel from that weapon to then use it to upgrade that weapon. I think, yeah, salvaging is more the way to go with that stuff. I kind of want to go back
cool to transmog.
Cool transmog as well. Yeah. Like, you can turn weapons into other weapons.
Pretty
that are
easy.
Similar. Yeah. I want to go back to your question, though, Mike, about like recommending this game.
Oh yeah, let's do that right now, because yeah, as we start to ramp down this episode, that's where I kind of want to end this, is where we're at. Of course, we all gave it a 3 out of 5, a good on the kind of funny scale, but we're leaning towards that 4, so I think you're going to find a lot of fun in this game, and I think these guys will agree with that, especially on Game Pass for all you Xbox fans out there. If you're looking for a Souls-like game, this is going to be a good one, and that's where I want to kind of lead and end this conversation of, it's a very similar Souls-like game, right? Where does that end up on the Pantheon for you two Souls-like players, right? Like, you guys have played them all. Where does this kind of drop on the scale here for you guys?
Yeah, like, 3 is such an interesting score, because I think there are often two types of... Oh, wait, what's this you got, Andy? Official... Oh, the Nitro Rifle ratings, is that for Souls-likes? Yeah.
No, this is just... obviously, on the kind of funny scale, you know, I have my own... Much like Blessing has his Blessing calendar, I have the official Nitro Rifle rating scale. And so, like, so 1 out of 10 is for real, just give up. LOL, nah, just kidding. But, like, for real, something went wrong, and it may not be your fault, but it needs to be addressed. Like, I don't want to be too hard on the developers.
Okay.
But that's
okay.
My 1 out of 10 score. I would give this game, which 5 being average, 5 out of 10, you know, 5 is an average, mediocre game. I would give this game a 6 out of 10, a fine game. Maybe, you know, I'm being nice today. You know, it's March 1st.
March 1st.
I'm
going to
give this game a 6. I'm going to give this game a 6.5 out of 10.
6.5. Okay.
See, on that Nitro Rifle scale, I lean more toward a 7. And that's actually,
yes,
that's,
me too.
That actually brings me to where I was driving at, which, you know, 3 out of 5, interesting score, because I think there are 2 threes, right? There's it's a 3, it's okay. Or there's it's a 3, it's good. Right? Like, I feel like 3 kind of encompasses both those things, right? The okay and good. And this is very much on the good side of...
It's an all-cap good to me.
All caps good. All caps good. Yep. This is one that I'll say, hey, like, if you played Sekiro, if you're like me and, like, Sekiro is one of your favorite games and you're like, yo, I want more of this, I can't recommend Woe long enough. Is it as good as that? No, it's not. But for me, it got the job done of really, like, helping... I guess, like, satiate that thirst, right? Yeah. I'm playing through this game, I'm like, yo, this is really fun. I'm having a blast with it, right? Like, would I like the story to be better? Would I like the environments to look better? Would I like, you know, the soundtrack to stick more with me? Of course. But at the end of the day, the game is so fun that I would recommend it, especially on Game Pass. Like, I think that is a steal for this game. In terms of where I rank it on the Pantheon, right? Like, I wouldn't really put it up against any of the From Software games that I've played. And in fact, from talking to folks who have played Neo, and then also some reviewers that have played this game, Like the few folks I've talked to have said that like, no, that we like, I like Neo 2 better.
Oh, okay.
And so it seems like maybe this doesn't even live up to that standard in terms of the Team Ninja stuff. But, and I just had a lot of fun with the deflecting system and getting in there and going through the motions of taking out the enemies and even the more tougher boss fights. At the end of the day, I had a pretty good time playing this game. And so I would say I would for sure recommend this to anybody that is into this genre of game. I would for sure say it's for fans of the genre. Like, check this one out.
I like that. I'm more on the side of, if you look at Dark Souls and so say, that's a little too slow, a little too methodical for me, and you look at Sekiro and go, oh, I like that speed, but I'm bad at parrying, I think this meets right in the middle where, like I said, throughout this review, I said 80% of the time, when you're just fighting normal enemies running around the world, you're going to really enjoy that speed. You're going to enjoy that moment-to-moment gameplay. You don't have to heavily rely on the parry, right? But when you get to these bosses, it is going to be a parry fest. You have to parry each and every boss, because if you don't, you're going to dodge and try to survive for a lifetime, slowly ticking away at their health, right? So for me, it's like, this is an upper echelon good on the Souls catalog, right? Where you can get lost in X amount or whatever games. But I think it's very good up there. And I think just the fast gameplay really changes it up and makes it fun for me.
I'm kind of with Blessing where, like, I think this game would have been better served as a Sifu type game. Like, make it a roguelite that you can finish really quickly and run through and try to get better each run. I think this game would have been better served by that, because when we talk about what I love about Souls games, it's not just the combat, but it is the exploration and having these surprises come at you and be like, what the fuck is going on? I can't believe that this giant ass monster just came out of this. Oh my God, I got tricked by this and that. This game doesn't feel like that at all. This game feels like you are playing a video game level as opposed to exploring a world and trying to like get to the trying to achieve a certain goal, right? This game is very much just like, get to the end. It's a video game. You're getting the levels. You're not going to be really surprised by a whole lot here. And like, yeah, I think this game would have been amazing if it was a much shorter of an experience and maybe a bit more, a bit shorter, as well as like, just make it a roguelite. Fully change it all.
Change the whole fucking thing. Make it a different game.
Yeah, make it a different game, yeah.
I think the bosses, like, when we look at all the bosses, if you were to bring up all the bosses, like you said, Andy, like, none of them are going to be iconic and memorable. Sure, that one boss, because he was so difficult, is going to be memorable, right? But, like, none of these are like a Dark Souls boss where you're like, yo, did you fight that chariot horse that was on fire? See, that was nuts, bro.
Yeah, like, you're not going to miss stuff here. Yeah. It's, like, the thing that kind of sucks. Like, I wish those stuff in this game that... I wish the worlds were larger and not just like these smaller, because for the lack of a better comparison, the level design and the worlds here feel like a PS2 and PS3 type era video game where like everything that's there, you're going to see it. It's really hard to miss something in this world. And if you do miss something,
it's sure as
hell not going to be a big boss fight. It's going to be some like item you just didn't pick up or whatever, or like an ability you may have stumbled across and just like ran by it and missed it. But like, you're not playing this game to explore and role play. You're playing this game to play a video game and try to like get it. I think this is why this would have been a better like roguelite type of experience if you were chasing a score or chasing like an S rank, an S++ rank or something like that. Like, I think this game would have been better served if they kind of gave it that sort of treatment as opposed to like,
yeah,
when you look a when Neo you, type FromSoft experience.
Yeah, I think the idea that this game is an action RPG, and I think in the RPG elements, that's where it's like, okay, this isn't living up. In the action, I think that's where it succeeds.
Action's great.
You know, because like when you think it's of phenomenal. RPG, you're thinking of, oh yeah, well, it was a story, world, like, give me like a, you know, exploration, leveling up, speccing my character and all that
choosing
stuff.
Choosing paths, making decisions.
Yeah,
you know?
I think the RPG half of this game needed quite a bit of work, but the action half, I think they got down. That's the thing, is fighting in this game is fun. And I think that's where Andy's coming from when it comes to like, yeah, this would have been a more fun roguelite, right? Get rid of the story elements, get rid of like the exploration and all that stuff. Just make it about fighting and make it about like getting better at the game. And I could see how that would hit a bit harder than like them actually going for making something that is action RPG and just not living up, right? And like, man, again, it's funny because we're talking about the same studio that made Nioh, which from what I hear about Nioh and even when I played with Nioh, like they've nailed what they're going for before. It's not like Team Ninja doesn't have the stuff, but you know, I think for Wolong it just ended up not coming together fully.
Okay. Well, that's
I still recommend it if you're into like action games,
100%,
and in for a challenge.
Okay,
I would say I was telling Mike because Mike was I was watching him sort of play some earlier levels. I have played a lot of this game on my TV as opposed to like plugged into my computer monitor, and I found it to be a good amount easier on my computer monitor because of the input lag on a television. So that is something where I thought, like, man, you know, these parries are pretty forgiving. I'm hitting parry really early, and it's still giving it to me. Well, that's just because I was on my TV. And when I switch over to the computer, it's like, oh, I was hitting it early. I thought the window was a lot earlier, but really, it was just receiving my input a decent amount later. So I would say, like, if you could play this on a monitor or, like, on a PC with, like, a much higher refresh rate, try that because the... Yeah, the refresh or the input lag on a television made the game a tiny bit more difficult, I'd say.
Okay. Well, there it is, our kind of funny review of Wolong Fallen Dynasty. Don't forget, Xbox players, it's coming to you via Game Pass, so you can jump right in and have some fun. This will conclude this week's XCast episode. The Gaming Dads and I will be back next week with all of the Xbox news that you need to know about. And here's a little one for you to watch. Of course, a big shout out to our friends over at Xbox On. Our friend Charlie had a great interview with Phil Spencer, and it is a must-watch, nice 20-minute hangout. Go check it out over on the Xbox On YouTube channel. And with that, we'll see you back here next week. Bye, gamers.